Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we're going to talk about the Astros and Mariners series. And once again, the official brand new co-host of Astros Baseball, Steven Peterson. What's up, buddy?
What's up? It is a very early morning. If you guys don't know, we're recording this in the morning today. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty hyped up yesterday, so I had some trouble falling asleep because it's pretty much playoff baseball already. You know, it's go time.
Yeah. So we just got swept by Kansas City coming into this, but I think Seattle also got swept by Texas.
They did.
And yes. I wasn't really sure how the Astros would perform in Seattle, but we did. I don't know if I was alone last time, but we had JV and Framber, so I figured we had the advantage, and we win the series 2-1.
We do. So you're talking about Texas sweeping Seattle. Coming into the series, I was worried because I usually like to keep the stats for the end, but this is kind of interesting to start with. So coming into this series, Texas, Houston, and Seattle have beaten up on each other. Houston is 9-4 versus Texas. Texas is 8-1 versus Seattle. And coming into the series, Seattle was 8-2 versus Houston.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So everybody was – So
we only have the tiebreaker over Texas.
Yes.
Wow.
Because Seattle's 9-4 over us now. We're 9-4 over Texas. And if Seattle wins three of these last four games for themselves, they're 9-4 over Texas. Or Texas is 9-4 over them. So it's very – very interesting. Everybody's beating everybody.
So now in the AL West, Texas leads. Houston's 2.5 back. Seattle is now 4 back. They were a half game back, but the Astros have separated themselves a little bit more, and it's a little more comfortable. The wild card, Tampa Bay, has a 10-game stronghold. Toronto has half a game stronghold. And the Astros are 6 seed. So the Astros are actually half a game away from being the 5th seed, which I don't want that.
No.
6th seed is way better than being the 5th seed. Way better.
Yes. Especially this year. This year, when it comes to the playoffs, you want to avoid any sort of hard path in the AL because it is nuts up top. The AL was the much weaker division this year, but it is nuts on the top side.
Yeah, they finished 5th. They got to go through Tampa Bay and Baltimore.
Yes.
Get to the ALCS. And I don't want that. I want to go through Minnesota, and I want to go through Texas. That's the path I'd rather take.
Especially with those stats I just read. Texas can be as good as they want, and if they do win the division, like I've said before in the show, the AL still runs through one place, and you haven't beat us all year, so beat us when it counts, you know?
All right, so if the playoffs started today, the Astros would go to Minnesota for 3 games, and I believe that's October 3rd. The winner would play a 5-game series versus Texas, and that would be October 7th. And September is almost over, so it is almost playoff time. And going into this series, I was thinking, you know what? That would be so weird if we just crumble and we don't make the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs, it seems like, for an eternity. It would just be nuts to not be in it.
I never had huge doubts that we'd miss the playoffs, but it starts trickling in your head, especially once you get swept by the Royals. You're just like, we're just going to miss everything. We're about to go to Seattle. They've been crushing us. We've beaten them once. We're just going to, you know, but like you said, you had JV and Framber. You're saying to yourself, if this is ever going to happen, it's going to kick off in Seattle with those two guys.
All right, so the other side, it was Toronto and Tampa Bay. The winner would take on Baltimore. Seattle and the Rangers start a 4-game series tonight. All right, the scenarios. This is what I wrote down. This is what I, in my thought process. If Texas and Seattle split, then Texas would have 91 wins. Seattle would have 87. And the Astros already have 87. So they just need to win one time if those guys split. If Seattle wins 3 out of 4 and we sweep Arizona, we would win the division.
Yeah. I was going to say, you need Seattle to win three, and we need to sweep Arizona. And we the division race is not over by any means.
No. You never know.
Especially Texas could be, okay, we just won another two. We're going to Seattle. Like, we're in the playoffs. And Seattle's playing for their lives. So you don't know what's going to come out of that series. Throw the stats out, and, you know, you just got to see what's going to happen.
It was kind of like Seattle was playing for their playoff lives against the Astros, but they failed.
Well, I think the Astros are playing for their playoffs. You know, that one felt like it did last year in the playoffs. And it was intense. It was loud. And I think the biggest moment of our season happened, and we'll get to that later. But I think that was the series that's going to get us going.
All right, so the bottom line, folks, the Astros are not out of it. The path to winning the division is not closed. I don't know if you can close a path, but anyway, I want to bring something up before we get into the games. I saw a video, Altuve getting hit, and Seattle fans cheer. I don't get that. Like, I know for some reason that John Boy, I think it's pretty much all John Boy's fault, but it's also that Altuve's kind of the guy that was crushing the Yankees people. And I don't know. But these guys, it seems like they're booing Altuve. It's like hey, the other guys are doing it, let's do it. But I don't know. I mean, you're going to cheer somebody. Did you see that guy behind him, right behind the screen? What a nut job.
My thing is, a lot of people are, well, you're hitting, you know, the Mariners are hitting the Astros. I don't think it's anything on the Mariners themselves. Like, I don't think Chaz or Altuve getting hit was on purpose either way. Now, cheering is one different thing. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, I mean, those fans were crazy all weekend. Did you see the guy who got thrown out of the game because he threw a ball at the pitcher's mound?
Yeah. Like, that was a Seattle kid.
Yeah. It's like,
the pitcher's waiting for the ball, and something just comes and hits him right in the chest, and they throw.
Yeah, I guess he thought it'd be funny, or like those fans were just crazy. Like I said, playoff atmosphere going crazy. You're gonna boo somebody, boo him. Like, Jordan is literally your daddy against the Mariners. You know what I mean? Like, just boo him when he hits a home run every single game against you. Boo Altuve when he's slugging and, you know, hitting doubles. That's fine. But when arguably still the best second baseman in all of baseball is getting hit, that's not good. No. You know, like, I'm not a Julio fan. If Julio got hurt, which he has this year, he's been out, that's bad for baseball. You know what I mean? Yep. It might be good for our division, but it's bad for baseball. We don't want to see it. Just don't do that, guys. Come on.
And what about tonight? Last night?
We'll see. So
bench is cleared. Neris, what I read, made a gay something to.
Oh, see, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's what I read.
So I.
But they're speaking another language, so that's just got to be people interpreting.
Stuff gets out of translation all the time.
You said trans.
Living in South. Living in South Texas, I know that there's a lot of people that speak Spanish, and I understand Spanish pretty well down here. A lot of words, if you just say it a certain way, means one thing. But if you're in a conversation, it means a completely different thing. You know, we don't know what they're saying. I've heard that last year, Julio hit a homer off of Neris, and he pimped it holding his bat down to, like, literally first base. So it could have been that. But aside from whatever remarks are made, I said it earlier, I think the biggest moment of our entire year just happened, and it was that moment right there. Finally, we have talked about it. The team's just so quiet and laid back. We don't have any energy. The energy was coming from Chaz and Dubon and, you know, Yiner every now and then just with clapping on base. But there was no moment. And this was like, I'm gonna go after their best guy. I'm going to throw it right down the pipe and say the typical, I'm going to throw it, you hit it. Who's better? I win. And now it's time to get hyped about it. And Neris has always been the loud guy on the mound, screaming and, you know, getting hyped in general with himself. But for him to go at somebody, and if you look, the team responded right afterwards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was, I think, possibly the biggest moment of our year. And I loved it.
So I have the story here. It says Neris aggressively taunted Rodriguez after the strikeout and he appeared to use derogatory words in Spanish. Eugenio, what is it? Eugenio Suarez was on deck circle and he heard it. And he said, I heard that and it pissed me off. I was mad and I let him know, why did you do that? Why did you do that to us? Enjoy your strikeout and then go to your dugout. Don't walk and chase Julio and do all that stuff. But it says something about it, but I won't read that again. But I wonder if Seattle fans are like, hey, fans, I mean, not Seattle fans, but the players, if they address the fans, hey, don't be cheering. Don't be cheering. I bet they don't do that.
My big thing is, the biggest thing I took away, and I tweeted this out right afterwards, was it shows the replay of Julio. Julio has every right to walk up to him and be mad, right? But Julio's sitting there wagging his finger saying, don't do that, don't do that. Look, I don't care how good you are. You've been in the league a year and a half. You don't get to say, you know, this isn't Albert Pujols saying don't wait, you know, when he was in the league. This isn't Miggy right now saying that. Even if when it was the Astros, Correa and Bregman were telling Kelly to do that against the Dodgers, right? They were in the league 4 or 5 years. You know, if you're going to go after somebody, walk up to them, talk to them, be mad, but don't try to act like, oh, you don't do that in the league. I've been here forever. You've been here a year and a half, and you like to strut your stuff. And like I said, pimp homers all the time. Can't have it both ways. You know?
Neris always has exciting moments. He's the most exciting pitcher on the team. And I think if he came in a big moment, I think that would pump everybody up. All right, let's get to the games, buddy. JV pitched game one. It started out great. Dubon had an RBI single. Maldi had an RBI single. And Altuve drove in Maldi. We're up 3-0. And the top of the third, what you talked about, Boo Yordan. Something crazy happened. I can't remember what game it was where they walked Yordan to get the Tucker. It was nuts.
Last night they did it twice.
Wow.
They did it twice. It's like, yeah, we're going to walk this guy because he's better than us or beats us, but we're going to face the AL leading RBI guy. No big deal.
So Yordan got his 30th home run, and we had that discussion, what would happen first, the 30 home runs or the RBIs. What happened first? Because I think you said RBIs. I think we both agreed that it would be RBIs.
We both agreed that RBIs would happen, and he hit his 30th homer while having 96 RBI. That homer was his 96th RBI.
So let's see if he gets there, folks. And then Kyle Tucker in the sixth had a home run. If you want to do that, I can do it. Home run 29 for Kyle Tucker. What's his stolen base numbers?
I think he's right there almost to 30, or he might have already passed it. Let me pull it up while you...
That made it 5-0. And then bottom of the ninth, Seattle scored on a sac fly. They made it 5-1. That was the final score. JV, 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, a walk, and 8 strikeouts. Here's an impressive stat I like to share with you, and a very impressive stat from JV's game. 0 home runs allowed. That is a good game for JV. Abreu came in and pitched the ninth, no hits, no runs, and a strikeout. Yordan, 2-for-4 with an RBI. My boy, Martin Maldonado, 2-for-3, an RBI, and a walk. The guy was on base 3 times. Kyle Tucker, 1-for-3. He walked and had a homer. Dubon, 1-for-4. He scored and had an RBI. The Astros, 5 runs on 9 hits, very efficient. 2-for-6, runners in scoring position. And they left 6 on base.
Yeah.
Can you find a stat?
Yeah, he's 29-29.
Oh, my goodness.
He's one away from both to be the first Astros since Bags to get 30-30 club.
That's crazy.
So hopefully he can do it. I know the ball's flying in Arizona coming up, so hopefully he gets one homer and at least gets on base. And I think you just green light him, right, every time? Go.
Oh, yeah. So game two is Christian Javier. And let me just get to this. All right, so we're down 2-0, right? Javier's pitching in the fifth. There's two on with two outs in a game that these guys want to win so they could win the division. And who does Dusty put in? The guy that cannot pitch under pressure. Unless he has, you can prove me wrong. I don't mind being wrong. Rafael Montero. He has really good numbers lately, but he's not going in close games. He's going in blowouts. And the guy can't even get anybody out. And by the time he's out of the game, it's 5-0. That's not good.
I don't know where to start with Montero. I mean, three batters, didn't get any outs. Like you said, I just.
What's crazy is Souza comes in. What's his name? Tell me his name so I can learn it.
I thought it was Souza.
Souza? Wowza. So yeah. He comes in and cleans up his mess, comes in the next inning and gives up nothing.
Again.
Yeah.
He hasn't given up a run as a manager, right? His ERA, no. We talked about it, was 7.79.
Yeah.
4.5.
There you go.
I just don't understand. You look at the rest of our bullpen after Montero. It's Souza, nothing. Maton, two strikeouts in an inning, nothing. Stanek did give up one run and one hit with another strikeout. It was just a solo homer. But I just want to get to Javier because you know how I feel about Javier.
Yeah. So Singleton got a sack fly. He brought in your catcher, Diaz. Ty France got a home run in the eighth. Altuve RBI single in the ninth. Brought in Kessinger. 6-2, we lose. Christian Javier, 4 2/3. 3 hits, 4 runs, only 3 earned. 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Takes the loss. He's now 9-5. He's starting to lose more often. 4.67 ERA. And I'll bring it up again. The guy that they said is going to lead the American League in the ERA and strikeouts, not even close.
And a better, a higher odd Cy Young candidate than Framber coming into the year. Makes no sense. My thing with Javier is I think, and I've always thought this about him, and if you remember early on when we were, I mean, it might have been 19 or 21. I think it was 19. he was like only out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
When he first was in the bigs, he was literally a bullpen guy. And that's all I've ever seen him as is he throws hard and he really only has 2 pitches. He's starting to throw the curveball more, but it's really fastball slider. That's the definition of a bullpen guy.
And he gets lucky and gets involved in no hitters.
My problem with him is he walks so many people. Like, he only had 3 this game, but he threw 91 pitches and only 55 strikes. That is not good. And if you look at his recent games, it is walk fest, balls everywhere. He's the wild thing for Major League. Like, he can throw some heat and he can do some good stuff, but it is just all over the place the last couple of weeks. And I've said it on here. I don't think he's our number 3, but looking at the rotation, I don't know who would be.
Yeah.
I heard you talk about it on the solo show that I could
have. Yeah.
Might be Urquidy.
I think so, too. The last game, get to it later, but the last game of the year is to be determined.
I'm thinking,
these guys aren't doing it. We need to try Urquidy. But when he got his chance, he didn't do it either.
What I think Dusty's going to do, and I was going to bring that up in a little bit. I have our schedule open. If you look at every other schedule pretty much in the majors, the rest of the year is filled out with pitchers, and we aren't. We have the day off today on Thursday. I think we might go JV then Framber on 1 day's less rest. If it's
JP France and then JV.
Yeah, I'm saying after JV, we might go Framber in that last game.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that depends on what is still on the line.
Yeah.
If we're locked into the wild card and we can't catch Texas because they blew out Seattle, cool.
Start Belak or somebody.
I mean, start Urquidy.
Yeah.
Carter Keady and see what he can give you, because he'll be still playing lights out or trying to play lights out to earn that spot back.
Yeah.
But if everything's on the line, you got to go to Framber and say, hey, bub, it's playoff baseball. You got to go 4 days rest. You know, let's go.
Well, you'd have to. Framber wasn't lights out today. His day ended kind of short today, but
yeah,
not there yet. So I already said this. Montero, 3 hits, a run, and a walk. Did not get anybody out. Sousa, an inning and a third, no runs, no hits, no walks, and a strikeout. Maton, 2 strikeouts. Stanek gave up a solo home run. Jose Altuve, 3 for 5 with an RBI in the losing effort. Kyle Tucker, 2 for 3 with a walk, got on 3 times. Pena, 3 for 4. The Astros had 10 hits in that losing effort. Those three guys got 8 of the 10 hits.
Just, we talked about this. We've always talked about it all year. The main thing is, when our pitching is decent, which it wasn't, our bats are bad. When our bats are good, our pitching is usually bad. We talked about it, though. What is Javier going to do when he doesn't get run support? Right?
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, we only scored 2 runs. Okay. Like that's keep it close. Keep it 2-3. You know what I mean? Like, keep it relatively close. Don't need to give up, you know, all the runs in the first 3 or 4 innings like we always do with him or with some of our pitchers all year.
Yeah. All right. So I already brought that. I had this written down about him, you know, being down 2 with 2 outs, and they brought him on Terra. We already discussed it. So let's go to today's game. Framber Valdez. This is a, you know, we win game one, they win game two. They have a little more momentum than us. J.P. Crawford gets a home run in the first inning. And then the Astros turn it on. Yordan, home run number 31, ties it up. And then Mauricio Dubon, a 3-run bomb. And we're up 4-1.
That Yordan homer was such a laser. I know you were working nights. Did you get to see it?
I was actually at lunch when that happened.
Dude.
It was like a second hardest hit ball, right? And it just,
yeah, because he already has our hardest hit ball at 117 a couple weeks ago. This one was 116.2, and it was a straight line that went 442. And I was telling my buddy, I said, could you imagine if he just hit that thing a little bit in the air? That's like 480, you know, because that was a straight line.
Yeah.
He just hits it in the air, that thing's gone. What can you say about Yordan? We talked about it. He owns his team. He's getting back into form. He'll be fine. He's up to 97 RBI, 3 away. We'll see what he can do. That Dubon 3-run bomb. I mean, we have a problem that I'll get to. It's a good problem to have, but you almost have to get Dubon in the lineup every game, like we did at the start of the year. But we'll get to it. I don't know where you start him, because with this game also, you know, you had everybody, it seemed like, hitting. Everybody got a hit. All of our starters got a hit this game.
There you go. Suarez had a 2-run single. That made it 4-3. At the top of the seventh, the Astros turn it on. King Tuck, RBI single. Abreu, RBI single. And Michael Brantley, who went 4-for-4 last night. I think he did. 4-for-4?
4-for-5.
4-for-5. And it was 7-3. And then my boy Maldi hits homer number 15 in the 8th inning. My catcher, not yours. Just kidding. 8-3 win. Framber, only 4 innings. 3 innings less than we're used to. 5 hits, 3 runs, 5 walks. That's why it didn't last long. You walked a lot of guys. But he had 7 strikeouts. Gave up 1 homer. Graveman came in, picked up the win. Naris a walk and 3 strikeouts. No wonder he was pumped. Abreu an inning and a third. A hit, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. What did you think about Abreu?
When they sent Abreu out there for the second inning, so that was, I believe they said that Abreu's career high before was 36 pitches, and he threw 44.
Jeez.
And I've talked about it over and over again on this. We've talked about it. You know, the back end of our bullpen that we set up is Naris, Abreu, Presley.
Yeah.
Naris, Abreu, Presley. It's what can you do with Maton, Montero, Graveman, right?
Sometimes I forget we have Graveman.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was when we got him the first time,
he'll come in and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about this guy.
I mean, 11, he only threw 11 pitches, kind of like, all right, you did your job. See you.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, that's the big thing in October baseball. Get up there and do your job. So I think we've something that's been brought up on the show is we need to find that first guy out of the bullpen still. It might be Sousa. Who knows? He's been pretty dang good.
Who knows what he's going to do with a little pressure, but that was some pressure coming in for Montero the other day. Altuve went 2-for-5. Abreu went 2-for-5. I hate the Abreu slander. It bothers me. Brantley 4-for-5, and Dubon had that three-run homer, and Maldi had his home run and 1-for-4. So we win the series, and there's nothing left to do except hand out some hardware.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you have yours ready to go?
I do.
Locked and loaded. All right, let's start with pitcher. I will tell you mine first, and I'm guaranteeing you this is going to be your guy. I have junior varsity. I have Justin Verlander.
Oh, the PA announcer coming out.
Too much high school football for us.
I know that. I have it written down as JV too. But yes, you're correct. I have JV as well. Yeah. Doesn't pitch like a JV player, but you know his initials can be whatever he wants.
All right, position player.
I think we're going to have the same one.
I don't either, because I think, you know, like, I'm trying to think how to say this. I want to call it the eye test, but if you're looking at the frills. But I went with Altuve. Because I think, so I can't remember why, but, like, he had three hits when we lost. And it's kind of like how Altuve goes, the offense goes. And he... I got him. There was a reason why, but that's why I got him.
I mean, he's up to 316, which is great. No, I have Dubon.
Oh,
Dubon hit the 3-run homer yesterday to give us a big lead and some cushion, and then or tonight, and then game one, that the two RBIs he had was on two outs to get us going early on as well. So I think both of his hits were early hits that were like extremely key. So I have Doobie.
In game one, he had an RBI single.
Yeah, that was the
game two. He probably didn't do anything, and then he had a 3-run homer last night.
Yeah, but both of those, you know, it was a two outs in the first game to get us a lead for JV, and then yesterday that 3-run bomb to get us a bigger lead.
Yeah,
I had to go with him.
So let me look at it again and show you why I picked Altuve, folks, in case you wonder why. So Altuve had an RBI single, drove in Maldi in game one. In game two, he had an RBI single in the ninth when we won 6-2, or we lost 6-2. And then last night he went 2-for-5. In the loss, he went 3-for-5. He had a good series. All right, Coach Rose. We better match on this one. I got Martin Maldonado.
We do not match.
How can you not have Martin Maldonado?
Because I said it to start. I said it to start the show pretty much when we talked about things before the game.
I was going to give it to Sousa again.
I've got Hector Neris.
I was like, this guy's 3-time winner.
No, I've got Hector Neris. I said it that moment. 3 strikeouts, getting fired up. Finally showing that this team is okay. It's go time. The team rallying right after him in the seventh. I thought that was, like I said, the biggest moment of our year, possibly getting everybody going, rallying the troops. Hey, it's time. Who cares if they hate us? We're hated. We're loved. Let's just go and play ball with some fire.
Let's do it.
And they responded instantly. So, I mean, like I said, I think that could be the biggest moment all year.
Yeah, so I picked Maldi because he had a RBI double in game one. He went 2 for 3. He was on base 3 times. And then he had a home run in game 3. He did not play in game 2.
So I will tell you this, and I have it written down here because I have parentheses around it. Or I had Dubon as the Rose, and I had Maldi as the hitter. Until the Neris moment happened. And I said, this guy's got to – he can't be the pitcher of the series because JV was –
He could. He's a pitcher.
But JV was –
wow, you know, that would have been nice to hear someone say that Maldi's the player. He's been the player of the series once.
Hey, career. So you talked about it real quick on Maldi. 15 homers matches last year, which is ties his career high as well. So last few years, he's had his career high in homers with 15. A couple of other stuff from game 3. Altuve hit a double in that game. That was his 400th career double.
But yeah, I saw that.
Framber had his in one of his 7 strikeouts. First 200 strikeout season for Framber in game 3. So Framber reached 200 strikeouts this year for the first time ever. Altuve, 400 career home runs. Doubles, sorry. I wish. And then Maldi tying his career high again with 15 homers. So it was a good game 3. A lot more than just a win. A bunch of good things came from it.
So let me tell you guys this. Next Sunday, we're going to do an end of the year award show. But we're also going to do, I think next Sunday, it's this one coming up in a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to cover the Arizona series, and we're going to record the other one in the same day. And we'll probably release the award show on maybe Tuesday morning. But I brought the stats up so I could check Tucker's stolen bases. He has 29 stolen bases. But it's like Tucker, Alvarez, Tucker, Tucker, Bregman, Tucker, 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 Tucker. This guy's got a good chance at being the player of the year.
So I said it for the first 4 months before I joined the show. I thought Tucker was the MVP for the whole. I mean, he was hitting at that time. Like his batting average has dropped, and he has fallen off a little bit. But with how good of an outfielder he is, with that arm he has, plus we were like he was the only reason we were even relevant for the first 2-3 months when we were struggling. Yeah. Like he was literally the only reason. And I have this discussion a lot with a lot of other sports too. It's how you view MVP. Is MVP the best player, or is MVP the most valuable to your team?
I was going to bring that up. I would say Kyle Tucker has been the best player, but the MVP of the team, the most important person we have on that roster, is Mauricio Dubon.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're going there.
What would we have done if we didn't have Dubon to play for Altuve when he was out all those times?
See, I thought you were going to go the opposite of that, because when Altuve got back is when we started winning and making our run.
That's true.
So that's where I thought you were going.
My thought is this, is that Altuve's out, and usually you're like, oh no, Altuve's out. But it was like, we got Dubon. We're okay.
He was hitting like 340 for 2 months.
Yeah. You weren't worried about it. You weren't like, God.
So that brings me a good point so we can close the show on this topic. I was talking about it yesterday. It's a good problem to have. So we have Brantley back now, right? And I want Chaz and Dubon in the outfield almost every game with Tucker. And I want a DH or Don. Problem is, then Brantley can't get in the game. So what do we do? Do we only use Brantley in lefty matchups? And that's when Dubon could, like, what do we do? Brantley's been on fire. He's hitting 320.
But he only plays like once every 5 games.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And
Because he hurt his hand, he hurt his arm throwing something, and I saw somebody post a GIF of like someone picking up a turkey leg,
yeah,
and all the bone, all the meat falls off of it,
yeah.
And they said this is Brantley when he threw that ball. I didn't think he was coming back.
Yeah,
and they
I
put him
know.
In the game, and he goes 4 for 5.
So my question to you is, and know you're a Maldi guy, what is your go-to lineup the last 3 games to end the year? Any order, it doesn't have to be in batting order.
I would say Maldi, Abreu, Altuve. You know, you could also put Dubon at second and DH Altuve because he's really good at second base. But I'm saying Altuve, Peña, Bregman, the normal infield, and Kyle Tucker. And I would – man, if he was healthy and could play all the time, I would want Brantley in left field and Yordan DHing, and then Chaz in center. That would be my lineup right there.
Do you ever look at Yiner back at first like you played a little bit this year?
No.
No.
Because defensively.
Yeah. Abreu's really good.
Defensively is a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Mr. Lucas said on here is like everybody wants, you know, the Diaz and Chaz fans, they only want to look at offense, but you have to play defense too.
Chaz is, I don't know if that argument goes with Chaz is really good defensively.
No, I know.
Okay. I was going to say at one point, I think he was leading baseball in, they do like this percentage stat catch thing of when the ball's hit, what is your percentage to catch it? And if I remember, I heard from the All-Star break last year through August of this year, he led baseball in 10% or less percent catches.
I got some comments about that. They're like, yeah. Hey, I respect Mr. Lucas, but I don't really agree with that.
Yeah,
Chaz is really good. But I'm just
– that's why I was
– but I think what he's just trying to say is they're like, look at this batting average. Look at this XFIB, or I don't even know these things. But, you know, like that's especially first base. Like on TikTok, they're like, why is he starting? Because he's the best first baseman we got. That's why.
Oh, no, I love Abreu. I'm fine with it. I've talked about it. The fans need to lay off of it. But, yeah.
All right, folks, we're out of time. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Steven's off today. I stayed awake. And we're done. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next time on Astros Baseball.
Peace.
There you go. I was waiting for that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.